Starting here at the top of the Lamed Amud Aleph by the two dots, two lines down. Gemara's still on the question of Ilfa and Rabbi Yochanan, who are arguing about whether the second half of the Mishnah is speaking about one avodah or two avodot. And the Gemara says, Tanan, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Zeklal, this is the principle that I'm going to establish. Im machshevet azman kadma la machshevet amakom pigul v'chayven alav karet. So here Rabbi Yehuda lets out his shito, that whenever the zman comes before the problem of chutzlim komo, then it's pigul and it has a din of karet. The other way around, where it's chutzlim komo precedes the chutzlim zmano, then it's just pasul and there's no chiyuv karet. But if you lay out a principle, ze'aklal, that means that it should apply equally in all situations. So bishlan the Rabbi Yochanan, according to Rabbi Yochanan, makes sense, I nutani ze'aklal. Makes sense that you say ze'aklal, because according to Rabbi Yochanan, whether it's one avodah, or shtei avodot that the machshava is in either of those instances, Rabbi Yehuda's principle applies, because he argues in both of those instances. On the other hand, Ella Ilfa, according to Ilfa, who says their argument is only about shtei avodot, aval bevodah achat, then a divrei hakol iruv machshavot ze, then even Rabbi Yehuda agrees that there's an iruv machshavot, then what are you going to say? Mazeh aklal. Why would you say this is the principle? It's not a principle. It only works by shtei avodot. It doesn't work by avodah achat. It makes no distinction. The Gemara leaves that as a kasha. It's a difficulty in Ilfa's position that why is Rabbi Yehuda making a generic or general statement if it's not true generally? There's a difference between shtei avodot and one avodah. This is Rabbi Yochanan who, for him, Rabbi Yehuda's position is true in all cases, and therefore the zeh aklal makes sense. And now the Gemara is going to take us over to Tmura, a sugi that we've seen before in Nedarim, Baba Kama, Shavuos, a sugi about Tfos Lashon Rishon. Whether when a person makes a statement, do we assume that what they say is binding the entire statement? Or do you say whatever they said first is binding because they're really just trying to retract their first statement? So that's the Gemara is going to discuss the case that we've seen a number of times, which is Tnan Otam. We have a Mishnah in Tmura. Arze Tmurat Ola Tmurat Shlamim. Person takes a Behemat Chulin. Next to it is standing another, his Ola and his Shlamim. He says, I want this Behemat Chulin to replace both the Behemat Ola and the Behemat Shlamim. I want to make an exchange onto this animal. Arze Tmurat Ola, Divi Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says, it's only an Ola because of Tfos Lashon Rishon. In that the first language, what he said first was Tmurat Ola, that is binding, that takes effect. Now, when he takes the second statement of Arizu Tmurat Shlamim, he's really trying to retract the first statement, which he can't do. He can't back out of the first statement. And number two is, Ink Dusha Chalak Dusha, so the Shlamim is not going to be Toface on the Ola. You can't have a Shlamim sit on top of an Ola, it doesn't work. So the only thing this animal is a Tmurat Ola. The number of Yosi, im lekach nitkaven tchila, if this was his original intent to make this animal to both a shlamim and an ola, ho v'yev shalotzi shtei shemot ke'achat, dvarav ke'yamim, that since it's impossible for make a single statement that included both an ola and a shlamim, therefore he said it is two separate statements. But if his original intent was to make it into both a tmurat ola and shlamim, he will be successful at doing that. If he's successful at doing that, you sell the Tmurah, you sell that Behemat Chulim that is now Tmurat Ola Shlamim, and then half of it goes towards a Tmurat Shlamim, and half of it goes towards a Tmurat Ola. So that's how you'll solve the problem of it being half and half. But he says it is possible to create such an animal, or to do such an action, because it's impossible to say them together. On the other hand, Im Mishamar Hazir Tmurat Ola, the other hand, if he says Tmurat Ola, V'nimach, and then he regretted saying that, V'amar Rezu Tmurat Shlamim, and then retracted the statement by trying to say Rezu Tmurat Shlamim, or Rezu Ola, he agrees to Rabbi Meir. If he made the statement, and the only reason he made the second statement of Rezu Tmurat Shlamim is because he wanted to retract the first statement, he agrees, then once he said it was an Ola, you can't back out of that. You can't change that fact that you already made it an Ola, because there is no such thing as taking Kedusha back. And number two is, in Kedusha, Chalak Kedusha, you can't have the second Kedusha be Toface on top of the Ola. The Shlamim can't now sit on top of the Ola. So that's the statement of Rabbi Yossi. The difference, Rabbi Yossi, we've seen this in other Gemaras in Baba Kama, the difference between whether he's considered to be Nimlach, or whether it's considered to be a single statement, we said it has to do with Toch De Dibur. That there are two types of Toch De Dibur. There's a Toch De Dibur of Shelat Rav L'Tamid, and there's a Toch De Dibur of Shelat HaTamid Shalom L'Tamid Rav. One of them is shorter, and one of them is longer. If it's the shorter one, then the intention, or we assume that the statement is one complete statement, and that's not two separate statements. On the other hand, if it's a Toch De Dibur of Shelat Shalom of the Tamid to the Rav, which is the longer statement, in that instance, we consider them to be a Nimlach, a track, regret to his first statement, and it'll be considered as two different statements. So that'll be the time period in which we determine whether he's really just making a single statement or whether he's trying to make two statements over here.
What happens when one behemoth is tumura of two separate?
You sell the animal and then you give half of it towards the tumura shlamim and half of it is an ola. So then, Tosas also asks a question, this happens to be an aside, but we have it in the Gemara in Kiddushin, that when you can't do, b'chosha ein b'zu achazu, enu b'vat achat. Anything you can't do sequentially, you can't do simultaneously. So over here, there's no way to make this into a tumurat ula and shlamim sequentially. Then why should it work? B'vat achat. Why should we be able to do it simultaneously? That's the general principle we have. Tosas here qualifies that statement and says, well, it depends. That reason, what is the reason it doesn't work b'zeh arzeh? What is the reason that you can't do it b'zeh arzeh and then b'vat achat? So the example that's given by Kiddushin is one institutes Kiddushin with a mother and a daughter. So if you want to do Kiddushin with a mother and daughter, there it can never work sequentially. So therefore, when you do b'vat achat, you can't have the Kiddushin mitofez both on the mother and the daughter. So Tosa says, the difference over here is whether you can be mekayim shnehem or ain't mekayim shnehem. By the case of the mother and daughter, there is never a situation in which you be married to both of them. It's an impossibility. Whether it's b'zeh arzeh, whether it's b'vat achat, there is no such thing as having both of them together. On the other hand, when it comes to a behema, you could create a situation in which a behema is chetzia ola and chetzia shlamim. We're going to see lashonot later on in the Gemara that allow you to create such a tmura. So since that is a possibility of creating such a animal or such an outcome, therefore b'vat achat would be okay. The only time we apply the principle of b'zeh arzeh and we say if you can't do it sequentially, you can't do it b'vat achat, is where it's an impossibility to create such a case of the b'vat achat. But if there's a creation or there are other instances or manifestations of b'vat achat, in that case we'll say even though you can't create it sequentially, you can create it simultaneously. So it does differentiate between our case over here and the other instances where the Gemara makes such a statement that you can't do it simultaneously. Right now the Gemara poses the question, which is really going to take up the rest of the daf, which is, Ibailuhu. Hare zut murat ola ushlamim mahu. What's the din if he says zut murat ola vishlamim? What's the difference between the statement before? In the previous statement he said tmurat ola and tmurat shlamim. He used the header tmura in both of these instances. In our case over here, he only used the word tmura once. He said tmurat ola ushlamim. So our question is going to be, will Rabbi Meir in this case agree that that's a single statement rather than two separate statements? The other one is, the question is, lachatzot mahu. What's the din of lachatzot? Now here is a machloket rishonim, or really gilonim, about what lachatzot means over here. Lachatzot, according to Rashi, if you want to say that the kedusha is tofes on the whole animal, and therefore when you say tmurat shlamim ve'ola, it doesn't work, or tmurat ola v'shlamim, it does not work, because once you hit the word ola, the entirety is captured by that kedusha, so the second one has no room to be tofes. What happens if he, from the beginning, says chetzia? Chetzia v'shlamim, chetzia ve'ola. So in that case, does that work? If you can't do it in the first statement, can you do it in the second statement? That's what Rashi says. On the other hand, Rabbeinu Chanano, it's quoted by the Shittu Mekubetzit here, as well as Tosafot, that Rabbeinu Chanano said the chatzot meant at a specific time. Rabbi Chaim Farsh, the chatzot, going to mar the chetzi hayom, at half, at noon today, to have olah ushlamim. At that moment exactly, it will be an olah ushlamim. Inami, he brings another interpretation, which is, olah ushlamim to have the chetzi hayom. That will be an olah ushlamim for half of the day. But here, by you sending a specific time in which it will happen. So as opposed to where you're making the statement, where a statement has to be sequentially by definition. Because your statement says Ola first, and then Shlamim afterwards. So that's sequential by its nature. If you say the statement, but you set it for a specific time, then it can be manifested at that moment. Even though you have to express it sequentially, but when it takes effect, the whole statement will take effect exactly at that moment. So maybe that will be different than saying it sequentially. So that's where Rabbeinu Chanano phrases the question over here. It's supposed to Rashi, says it means Chetzia Ola, Chetzia Shlamim. So the question is, Abayi says, Amar Abayi v'hai v'adei mode Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir for certain will agree in this case. Rabbi Meir's opinion is Tfos Lashon Rishon, that the first Lashon is the one that is in effect. Over here, he'll agree that it's Iruv. We have a mix over here, because it's a single statement. The statement when you say Tumrat Olah, Tumrat Shlamim, that's two statements. When you say Lachatzot, at least, it seems from the continuing of the Gemara. The Gemara is only answering the second question, Lachatzot. But according to those that think that the statement or the question is really all one big question, then it'll be answering both of those questions as prior. The Rameh would agree that that's Iruv Machshavot, and you have a Chetzia Olah and Chetzia Shlamim. Rav Amar, Adayin Hi Machloket. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, Rabbi Meir still thinks in this instance that you have two statements. If you have two statements, then it's only an Olah and not a Shlemim.
What did he say?
He said Olah first and then Shlemim. By the Chatzot, he said the Olah. He says, Harei, Zu, Tmurat, Olah, Shlemim, L'Chatzot, at Chatzot today. So they still, the statement still had Olah first. So in that case, the Olah will take effect. So Amar Rav Abaye, L'didach, Damart, Baha, right? Would you say, Rabbi Moder, Rabbi Meir, that Rabbi Meir definitely agrees in this case, Harei Shechita, the case in our Mishnah, D'lechi, L'Chatzot, Dami, Uplige. So our Mishnah has a case of Kezayit Limachar and Kezayit L'chutz L'mkomo. He takes two Kezayitim and he says one Kezayit is going to be Chutz L'zmano and one Kezayit I'm going to have a Machshava of Chutz L'mkomo at the time of Shechita. So here you have Kelechatzot Dami. Why is it Kelechatzot Dami? Because an animal has multiple Kezayitim in it. So the ability to make each Kezayit into a different Machshava is the equivalent of taking one animal and saying I want half of it to be an Olah and half of it to be a Shlamim. Because of course if you say the whole animal is an Olah, whole animal is a Shlamim, there you're trying to do two different things to a single animal, which you can't do. Now, if it had been two animals, of course you could have two separate statements about two animals. So that's the equivalent. If you have two Kezayitim, it's the equivalent of saying half the animal to be Olah, half the animal to be Shlamim, or Kezayit L'chutz L'zmano, Kezayit L'chutz L'mkomo. What's the din in our Mishnah? Rabbi Yehuda says the din in our Mishnah depends which one comes first. If Chutz L'zmano is first, then has a din of Chutz L'zmano. If Chutz L'mkomo comes first, then has a din of Chutz L'mkomo. Rabbi Yehuda is in the Shita of Tfos Lashon Rishon. He and Rabbi Meir share the same Shita, which is that whatever is stated first is Tofes, that takes effect. So you see from our Mishnah, even in a case of L'chatzot, in a case of Rabbi Yehuda, when you say the two statements, Chatzayit, or even Kechatzi Kezayit, the Machar, Chatzi Kezayit L'mchutz L'mkomo, in any of those instances, we believe that it's still Tfos Lashon Rishon. That means that Rabbi Meir will still argue, even in the case of where you make a single statement, even in a case where you say chetzia, chetzia, Rabbi Meir should be arguing. And that's Rabbi's question. Again, Rabbi Rabba, the Ba'i, the Didach, the Amar, Baha, Vade, Mode, Rabbi Meir, you think Rabbi Meir definitely agrees in this case. Har Shechita, the case of our Mishnah, the Chig L'chatzot, Dami, is exactly like this case of L'chatzot, Uplige. And we see Rabbi Huda still argues on the Chachamim there. So Amar Lei, Rabbi responds to Rabba, Misavarat, En L'Shechita, L'Basof. Your underlying assumption here is there is a single moment where this all takes effect, which is that the shechita only happens at the end. Yeshna shechita mitchila v'atzof, because I disagree with you. I think there's shechita from the beginning to the end. If I do that, that means that there's not a single moment where this takes effect. Why is that? Mishnatenu damar. Our case in the Mishnah is the siman rishon chutz l'zmano, siman sheni chutz l'mkomo. That the first siman will be of a machshava of chutz l'zmano, and when he cuts through the second siman, he'll say it's chutz l'mkomo. So it's actually different than the case of a chatzot. The case of a chatzot assumes that in a single avodah, in a single instance, I'm allowed to create, or I'm able to create a half of this and half of that. Either because I take a gezayit and gezayit, or because I say, chetzi olah, chetzi shlamim. So at a single moment, I do both of those actions. Well, over here, that rabbi says, that's only true if you believe that the moment of shechita is at the end. There's only a moment, single moment, when shechita takes effect, that's at the end. But if you believe that shechita is mitchilat sof, that is a process, it's a talich, that shechita goes from the beginning of the cut to the end of the cut, then I actually have two discrete moments within shechita. That's when I cut the first siman, and then when I cut the second siman. If I do that, that's equivalent to making two separate statements. So we're going to say, Harizu tumrat olah, Harizu tumrat shlamim, because each siman is independent. Now even though shechita is a single avodah, Tosfos over here points out that despite that, each one is a discrete action. He also says, if you want to say, if a person would try to say, well, I want a mashu of this and a mashu of that, it won't work. You have to have an action that's discrete. A siman, or the cutting of a siman, is a discrete action. Because you know, like by an oath, the cutting of a single siman would make it into a kosher shechita. But it's still mesuyam, it's still significant. Again, by oath, if you do a single siman, it would be a kosher shechita. So we know that it has that type, a siman echad is discrete and has a meaning in other places. So only in that instance will we say that you can create or have it be two separate entities. Over here, that's what we say. Rabbi says you're making a mistake. The case in our Mishnah is not a case of chetziah and chetziah. The case of Mishnah is Tmurat Olah and Tmurat Shlamim. Two separate cases. Why? Because I have a process of Shechita, and for each one of the Matirim, I have a different Machshava. For the Matir of the Kaneh, I say Chutz L'Zmano. For the Matir of the Veshet, I say Chutz L'Komo. So that's how we solve it. The problem gets out of the question from Abayi. So Gemara says, wait a minute. That works well if you want to explain our Mishnah. What about Harei Kmitza? In the beginning of Menachot, Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim argue about the same thing when it comes to Kmitza. We know that when it comes to Kmitza, taking off the amount from the Mincha that will end up on the Mizbeach, your Kometz, you take a handful off of that Mincha, and that is placed on the Mizbeach, that's the equivalent of Shechita. When you do Kmitza, it's the same as doing Shechita. Now, with Kmitza, you can't do the same thing. You can't say, like Shechita, there's a process where you have two simanim, two discrete actions. Here, there's only one action that's taking the Kmitza from the Mincha. That's called Shechita. There, how does Abaye divide that up into two? And yet, we see Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim still argue in that case. So Gemara says, there will be a case of chatzot, upligay. And we know in Menachot that Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim still argue over there about whether tfos lashon rishon or not. So Gemara says, hatanami. Over there also there are two matirim. Shiktir komets mincha, chutz lizmano, and komets livona, chutz limkomo. Komets is probably not the right word, you're probably should koret livona, chutz limkomo. But we're moving away from shchita. The case in Menachot will not be about the shchita of separating out the komets, but rather about the haktara, placing it on the Mizbeach. There are two matirim for a mincha. There are two items that must end up on the Mizbeach in order for a mincha to be kasher. One is the komets, that which you separate from the mincha. The second is the levana, the frank incense that's placed on top of the mincha. That also must get to the Mizbeach. So I have two separate items that will end up on the Mizbeach, two separate items that are matir, the mincha, ba'achila. So that's how Abaye will explain that Mishnah Menachot. He'll say, listen, I had a machshav of chutz zmano by the kmitza, or by the haktarata kmitza. I had a machshav of chutz zmano by the placing of the livona on the mizbeach. So now I have two discrete actions, two avodot in a sense, they're all part of haktara, but two discrete actions within haktara, and I have a machshav about each of those. That'll be the equivalent of harei zeh tumurat ola v'tumurat shlamim, or tumurat shlamim, where he says tumurat twice, and therefore you don't have a question on me. Mar says, all right, harei komets the minchat chuteh. What about the kmitza of a minchat chuteh? Minchat chuteh is brought by someone who has a korban olev yoreid, when he's on the lowest level of a korban olev yoreid, right? He brings an animal when he is bringing the highest level, he brings ofot in the second level, and the last level, the bottom level, he brings a mincha. Now, minchat chuteh has something different than other minachot, which is, since it's a minchat chuteh, it doesn't have all the fancy stuff, which means it doesn't come with levana, it doesn't have shemen. It's a very plain mincha. So that mincha, you don't have two matirim. You don't have two things that end up on the mizbeach. You only have one, which is the kmitza that ends up on the mizbeach. So over there, Gemara says, "Are you comments the mincha koteh? Deleka levana ba'adei. There is no levana that comes along with it. Upligi. And over there, by mincha koteh, we know that Rabbi Yehuda and Chachamim still argue. So the Gemara says, "Lo upligi. They don't argue. They don't argue." He says, "I disagree." By Minchat Choteh, they don't argue. I mean, true, in the Mishnah Menachot, it talks about Menachot. But we don't know which Menachot it's speaking about. So what's Abaye going to say to you? That Mishnah is only speaking about regular Menachot. It's not speaking about Minchat Choteh. Even though you want to suggest that Minchat Choteh should be subsumed in that Mishnah, because our Mishnah is generic about Menachot, I'm going to tell you that's not. It's talking about generic, normal Menachot. It's not talking about that case of Minchat Choteh.
How could there be an argument about Plingy Lo Plingy?
Because the Mishnah in Menachot says that by Mincha, by the Kmitzat the Mincha, Rabbi Yehuda and Chachamim disagree. Which Mincha are we speaking about in that Mishnah? We don't know. So Rava says we're talking about all Menachot, including Minchat Chuteh. But he says, no, we're just talking about your normal course Menachot, Minchat Nedava, that comes from the beginning of Parshat Vayikra. Those are the Menachot we're talking about. All of those have Levonan, and therefore they're Shtei Matirim, and that's why I think there's no question from there. On the other hand, Amar Avashi, Im Tibzalom Pligi, even if you want to say that Minchat Chuteh is subsumed in that Mishnah, nevertheless, Pligi B'Psiot. I can come up with a case where I have discrete actions within a single avoda. That's the avoda of Halacha. The avoda of Halacha, taking the Kmitza to the Mizbeach, when I take the Kmitza to the Mizbeach, I have to walk to the Mizbeach. That Halacha, that Malacha, involves multiple discrete actions, which is, each step is a discrete action. So in that case, I can have a machshav of chutz zmano in one step, and then a chutz zmano in a next step. So there I have a process again of walking, which involves discrete actions along the way, stepping. Each step is a discrete action, and therefore I can have a machshava in each action. If I do that, I have the equivalent of arei zu tumrat ola, tumrat shlamim. I have two discrete statements, and that doesn't compare to the case of the chatzot, of chetzi lezeh and chetzi lezeh. So that's why Abaye say, then this isn't a proof against me. You don't have a proof that Rabbi Meir doesn't believe this.
Comments, can't it be released like half and then the second half also? Like let's say just do chutz zmano, little comments, chutz zmano.
Yeah, you can do it. Chatzi comments, chutz zmano, chutz limkomo. that you can have that. No, they don't talk about that case of the chatzi kezayit and chatzi kezayit, because there maybe it's not discrete. Again, by shechita you can create two distinct moments, which is the two simanim. By the chometz you don't have that. Chometz is there's only one discrete action. You can't take it out. You take it out in a single action. Even though you can have a machshava about each chatzi kezayit is not significant in of itself. The chatzi kezayit, each one together, they're mitzarif to a kezayit, but each chatzi kezayit has no meaning. As opposed to a siman by behema, which is a significant advar mesuyam, as Tosos calls it. So that's enough to separate between them. Right, Tosos does ask over here, the Gemara should just ask from Chatat Of. Why does the Gemara ask from Chatat Of? Chatat Of, the Mikdash gets Malika, and that Malika is kasher be siman echad. So then, now he buys up a creek. By Chatat Of, he has a case where there's a siman echad, and there's a machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. So last Tosos on the Yomud, he says, Tema, the Lopark Malika, the Chatat Of, the Plige, so I says Yishlomar Tikashtei Matirim Kagom Mefaraket V'Siman Echad, which is very interesting. Tosa suggests that he has to, in order, the reason we do Shkita from the front is because you break the neck by going through the back. If you break the neck, then the animal's already trefa before there is any Shkita. But for a bird, when you're doing Malika, you do come from the back. So there is a requirement of Mefaraket. You have to break the Mefaraket and then get to Siman Echad. So Tosa calls those two discrete actions. It's a big chiddush to say such a thing. Because he's asking from Chatat Of. So he says that those are considered two discrete actions, which is interesting, because the Mefereket, breaking of the Mefereket, usually is a problem of psul, that it creates a problem. The Matir is getting to the Siman Echad. Here, the only way to get to the Siman Echad is by going through the Mefereket. So it's almost like it's a necessary action, but it's not the Matir. So this is now calling it a part of the Matir here, that the breaking of the Mefereket, as well as the Siman Echad, is part of the Matir, and therefore there are two Matirim, or two discrete actions. It's very interesting, because you normally would not have considered that way, but Tosfos is in a little bit of a bind, so that's how he uses it for Abaye to get out of this problem. All right, now the Gemara says, Rav Simi bar Ashi, matni k'da Abaye. Rav Simi bar Ashi learned the brightot like Abaye, meaning that Rabbi Meir would agree in a case where he says, l'chatzot dami. Rav Huna bar Natan, matni k'rovo. Rav Huna bar Natan learned the Mishnah where the machloket between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi would be in a case where you say, Tumrat Olah and Tumrat Shlamim, case of l'chatzot. Again, the case of, how you say, Tumrat Olah Vishlamim, it's not clear if the Gemara is addressing that case. Kiyata Rav Dimi, Amar, Rabbi Meir, Beshitat, Rabbi Yehuda Amra, Damar Tfos Lashon Rishon. So this is an underlying assumption in Rava's question to Abaye, is that Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda have the same shita. What does that mean, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda have the same shita? That they both believe tfos lashon rishon. The first statement that comes out of your mouth, that's what matters. In our Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda says, if you say chutz l'zmano first, that's what's koveya. If you say chutz l'mkomo first, that's what's koveya. The first lashon is the only thing that matters in our Mishnah over here. That is the position of Rabbi Yehuda. In our Mishnah in Tmura, the position of Rabbi Meir is if you say, Harei zu tmurat olah, tmurat shlamim, he says, eh, what is that? That's a tmurat olah, tfos lashon rishon. Rabbi Dimi, when he came, he said this, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda have the exact same position, which is tfos lashon rishon. Whatever your first statement is, that's what's koveya. That's not. We have a Mishnah. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, zeklal, mechshevet azman kamalit, mechshevet amakom, pigul, v'chayvet makareit. Our Mishnah, that is, the chutz l'zmano, mechshevet comes first, then it's pigul, and you have a din of karet. If the chutz l'zmano comes first, then it's pasul, and ain't bo karet. Amar le Abaye. But he says, wait a minute. Va Rabba Barchanam Rabbi Yochanan, ki megat lohu Rabbi Meir v'Rabbi Yossi, ki megat lohu, if you want to say, or once you reach this point in time, if you really understand this sugya, Rabbi Meir Rabbi Yossi ba'dah dead lo plige. Rabbi Meir Rabbi Yossi don't argue. Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi from Tmura, where Rabbi Meir says it's ula, and Rabbi Yossi says it's a single statement because he didn't have the ability to say it in two different statements, they don't disagree. There's no machlokas between them. My says, lo plige. What do you mean they don't argue? We have an explicit Mishnah that says Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi have two different positions. Samalei, great answer. They argue about what they argue, and they don't argue about what they don't argue. So what does that mean? So that's Yosef, Rabbi Yochanan, Kol Modim. So now they're gonna, what this means is, and this is what the Gemara does in many instances, tries to narrow the machloket in the Tanaim. You have two Tanaim with two different opinions. We want to limit the spectrum in which they argue. We're going to make it in the very narrow cases where they argue. We want them to agree in the most possible cases. That's what the Gemara is about to do. Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yosef, Rabbi Yochanan, Akol Modim. Everybody agrees. Hegad Amar Tchozu, Vachakach Tchozu, Divrei Kol Lo Chayla. Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yosef will agree that if you say first this, and then that, it doesn't work. Because you can't do that. It doesn't work sequentially. You can't have tmura in a sequential manner. Once the first tmura is chal, the second tmura, it's impossible for it to be chal. So if you make a statement, even in a single statement, you say zu, and then zu, the then already makes it sequential. If it's sequential, it won't work at all, even according to Rabbi Yossi. On the other hand, lo tocho zu, elim kein chalazu, dibar kol chayla. Says this will not take effect unless the other one takes effect. Then what are you saying? You're not making a sequential statement. You're making a single moment of manifestation, a single moment of action. This will not take effect unless this takes effect, which means, even though you stated it sequentially, your intent is for it to be chal, to take effect in a single moment. Then even Rabbi Meir will agree that it's not two separate statements, it's a single statement, and both take effect. So now we already narrowed down. We've taken the two extremes, and we narrowed it down. We said, if you make a sequential statement, especially when you say it sequentially, and you say it will take effect sequentially, everybody agrees it's no good, and only the one first one takes effect. In a statement where you say it will take effect simultaneously, everybody agrees that that is considered to take effect simultaneously. So where is the machlokas? The machlokas is, kiplige damar tumrat olah, tumrat shlamim. Where he makes two statements, but he doesn't give any designation of it. He says, tumrat olah, tumrat shlamim, which is the case that we brought before. Because Rabbi Meir savar, medahavale le meimar, tumrat olah, ushlamim. He should have said them together. He should have just said one, the word tumrat once, tumrat olah shlamim. Here, amar, tumrat olah, tumrat shlamim. Here he went out of his way to mention the word tumrat twice. Shlaminam, hadar kadar bay. That means that he's making a sequential statement, and he's really retracting the first statement, which he can't do. So if he can't retract the first statement, we say, tfos, lashon rishon. Tfos, lashon rishon means it's an olah, and the shlamim becomes irrelevant. Because you made a sequential statement, you tried to retract it, that doesn't work. And the shlamim can't take effect once the olah has taken effect. So that's the position of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yossi, Iyamar tumrat olah ushlamim. How do you say tumrat olah ushlamim? Hava mina paga tumrat olah, paga tumrat shlamim. This is the mistaken assumption of the person who's taking the action here. He thought if I said the word tumrat once, that would mean that I think that half is an olah and half is a shlamim. And I know half olah, half shlamim can't end up on the mizbeach. That's not what I want. I want this animal to end up on the mizbeach. So what I want to do? L'hachi amar. Therefore I said tumrat olah, tumrat shlamim. The memra de kula olah, kula shlamim. Havya. I want this animal to be entirely to be an olah and to entirely to be a shlamim. Now truth, in the end, both end up in the same way, which is that you have to sell the animal, and half of it goes to an olah, half of it goes to the shlamim. But he made a mistake. This person who's trying to be makdisha made a mistake, and thought, if I said the word tumrat twice, that would make it able to be mukram ala mizbeach. That I could take it and offer it up on the mizbeach, because I made it into a total olah, total shlamim. As opposed to making half and half. Half and half, he knows for sure won't end up on the mizbeach. He makes a mistake and thinks that if I make it tumrat olah and tumrat shlamim entirely, that will end up on the mizbeach. I'm not trying to retract my first statement. Making a single statement, I want it to be both on the olah shlamim. But I want it to be, or manifest itself in a way that I can be makrivit on the mizbeach. Well, obviously in the end, he's a mistake and it doesn't work either way. But that is what he's thinking. And when he's thinking that, he really intends for a single statement to take effect, which is both tumrat olah and tumrat shlamim, and therefore it's both a tumrat olah and a tumrat shlamim. So we've narrowed the machlokas to this one instance where he uses the word tumrat twice. He says it in a single statement, harei zu tumrat olah tumrat shlamim, but he uses the word tumrat twice. Rabbi Meir says the use of the word tumrat twice is an indication it's two separate statements. That means he's retracting his first statement, which he can't do. Rabbi Yossi says he's using the word tumrat twice is because he has a mistaken assumption that by using the word tumrat twice, it'll make it able to be makrav ala mizbeach. I could place it, I could offer it on the mizbeach. So he has a mistaken assumption. That mistaken assumption is what making him say tumrat, tumrat. He really would have said tumrat olah shlamim, but he didn't think he would get the outcome that he wanted if he said tumrat olah shlamim. He thinks he'll only get the outcome if he uses the word tumrat twice. But that means he's really making a single statement, and that single statement will have an effect simultaneously, which means olah and shlamim simultaneously. Half olah, half shlamim is the outcome of what he did.
Going back to the Meir and Yossi, their common ground is...
The common ground is where either he makes a statement sequentially, or he says that it'll only take effect after the other. Everybody agrees no good. It's only an olah. And the statement where he says that it will only take effect simultaneously. That case where it take effect simultaneously, even Rabbi Yossi agrees that they will be both an olah and a shlamim. Now why does this present a problem? This presents a problem for us with Rabbi Yehuda. If you believe that Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda share the same belief, then what's the case? We said before, the case of Lechatzot is a case of Harei Zu Tumrat Olah Ushlamim. It's the same thing as saying Tumrat Olah Shlamim or Lechatzot Dami. And what do we see here? We see that everybody agrees. Even Rabbi Yossi is going to agree in the case of L'chatzot Dami. Everybody's going to agree that that is a single statement and it takes effect on both of them. Even Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi will agree that that's a single statement. If that's the case, he doesn't agree with Rabbi Yehuda anymore. Rabbi Yehuda says in Shechita that when I have L'chatzot Dami, when I have two Zeitim, which is the equivalent of having half as this, half as that, or Hari Zeit Tumrat Ola Ushlamim, in that case, Rabbi Yehuda believes still Tfos Lashon Rishon in our Mishnah. The first Lashon takes effect. Rabbi Meir, we just said, according to this understanding of Rabbi Yitzchak, Rabbi Meir agrees in that case to Rabbi Yossi, that that takes effect simultaneously, and it's both an Ola and a Shlamim. So you can't believe that Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi hold of this, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda have the same opinion, because they actually have different opinions. Rabbi Yehuda believes that it's always Tfos Lashon Rishon, no matter how simultaneous or how half your statement is. Whereas Rabbi Meir, according to Rabbi Yitzchak, says, even in these cases, he's going to agree to Rabbi Yossi and say that it's chal on each half of it. All right, so now, the Gemara says, Bimi suggested that Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda have the same opinion. So then along comes the Bai and says, what do you mean they have the same opinion? I have Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef who says that they don't have the same opinion. Rabbi Meir disagrees or agrees to Rabbi Yossi in that case where you think Rabbi Yehuda and he share the same opinion. That means that Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda don't agree anymore. So I don't understand how you made this statement, the blanket statement, that Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda have the same position. So Amarle, Rav Dimi responds to Abai, Hu damar lo plige. You know, Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef can say whatever he wants. That's, he thinks they don't argue. I'm the plegi. I think they do argue. I think Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi argue in that case as well. They argue in all these cases. Man, even in the case where he says Tumrat Olah Ushlamim, I think he still argues in that case. So if that's true, then Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda do share the same opinion over here. Rabbi Yehuda's case can be the case of Hari Zut Tumrat Olah Ushlamim, not the case of Im Chalzu Et Lo Tuchalzu. When you say that Rabbi Meir argues even in that case, if Rabbi Meir argues that case, then he's in the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. So that's Rabbi Dimi's response to Abaye. You think he doesn't argue? I think he does argue. You brought up Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef. I don't agree with Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef's interpretation of their machlokas. So this is a new question. The Gemara wants to know. I'll tell you, our Mishnah does say kazayit, without the vav in it. But our Mishnah, when it says that he has a kazayit lemachar, kazayit chutz lemkomo, or kazayit chutz lemkomo, kazayit lemachar, he has a machshavet chutz lezmano and chutz lemkomo, each one in his separate kazayit. What is the Lashon Mishnah? Is it kazayit without a vav achibor? Or is it kazayit u kazayit with a vav achibor? What's the difference? So kazayit's not, if it just writes kazayit without a vav achibor, aval kazayit divrei hakol, eruv machshavot habe. Because if it had a vav achibor, even Rabbi Yehuda would agree that it's a single machshava. I mean, the reason that it's considered two machshavot here, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is because he said kazayit and kazayit, two distinct statements. But if you use a vav achibor, that's equivalent of joining those statements into a single statement, and even Rabbi Yehuda would agree that it's a single statement. Oh, Dilma, kazayit, u kazayit's not. Our Mishnah has the vav achibor in there, and the Rabbi Yehuda, pratavi, that even when you use a vav achibor, it would still be two distinct statements. So over here, the Gemara is suggesting that if you don't have a vav achibor, if you have an independent kazayit, discrete statement, that would be more reason to believe that they are separate entities. On the other hand, if you have a vav achibor, there you would think maybe that it's more so that it's a single statement, and possibly Rabbi Yehuda would agree to the Chachamim in that instance, because it's Erev Machshavot, it's a single statement, a single Machshavah. If it's a single Machshavah, maybe even Rabbi Yehuda agrees that we don't say Tfos Lashon Rishon, because there is no Lashon Rishon anymore. If it's a single statement, they both will take effect simultaneously. You won't say Tfos Lashon Rishon, and you won't say the first statement is Koveya over here. So that's the question that was posed by Ula, and some say Rav Oshia, about our Mishnah. What's the Lashon? What's the Girsah on our Mishnah? Now it's interesting here, I just pointed out, because we did it when we did it in Shavuot, and the Gemara over there has a case of Shwa, where a person takes a Shwa, whether it's Shvat Eidut, Shvat Bidu, and he says Ve, 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 Ve. And he has a Vav Achibor over there. Rashi interprets, when the Gemara over there says Ve, the word Va, it sounds from the Girsah of the Gemara over there, that Ve is more reason to say that it's a separate Shavua. We say Shavua Lecha, Ulecha, Ulecha, that Vav was designating each one of them as a separate Shavua. Whereas if you had Shavua Lecha, 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 then the word Shavua was only to face on once, because the word Shavua is only used once. But when you use the U, it makes the word Shavua apply multiple times. So over there, the Gemara seems to indicate the word, the Vav, Achibor, would make it more likely to be separate entities. Whereas over here, the Vav, Achibor, is trying to make it into a single entity. Therefore, the Rabbeinu Tam, in the Gemara Shavua, changes the Girsah. He argues on Rashi in the Gemara Shavuot and says that the girsa should be flipped. And that the case of Shavuot lecha lecha lecha, when there is no vav achibor, that's more reason to believe that they are separate statements or separate Shavuot. And when he says ulecha, 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 that case would be more likely to be a single Shavuot to match it up with the Lashon of our Gemara over here. Where the vav achibor makes it more likely to be a single statement rather than separate statements. Just mentioning, we did it. We did that machok between Rashi and Tosafot when we discussed it in Shavuot. That's the Rabbeinu Tam's takes our Gemara here to prove his point over there.
It's really a different formulation, because there what we're saying is that the word Shavuot, he only said the word Shavuot once.
Whether it's a colon or not a colon afterwards, right?
As opposed to here, where it's...
He said the word Gzayit in both instances. Gzayit, which we're going to get to. Gzayit chutzlum kamo ulamachar. That would be more like the case that Rabbeinu Tam is speaking about, correct? That would be the equivalent.
One statement has been modified.
By the two things. I agree with you that that's the case, and that's probably why Rashi disagrees over there, that it may not be. That the Vava Chibur might function differently over there than it functions over here. Alright, so now the Gemara continues. It says, Tashma, we have a case. The case will take us through the rest of the Gemara, but from this we'll prove what the answer to our question is. Tashma, we have a case that, before Rabbi, Dabai Minei Levi, Mi Rabbi. Levi is a Talmud of Rabbi, he learned before Rabbi, and so Levi asked the question of Rabbi. Chishiv lechol kazayit lemachar b'chutz. This is a case where he says it's kazayit tomorrow in b'chutz. Maho, what's the din over there? Amrle zu sheila iruv makshavot havi. Says your question is a case of iruv makshavot, and even Rabbi Yehuda would agree in that case that there's no tefos lashon rishon. That a case where he says together kazayit lemachar b'chutz, he puts them together in one single kazayit, then it's clear that's a single statement, and you can't have a tefos lashon. They're both effective at the same time. And of course, that means pasul veimbo karet. That for sure, because if there's an iruv machshavot, then by definition there is no chutz zmano, there's no pigul over here, there's no karet. So he says, Amar lefanav Rabbi Shimon b'Rabbi. Rabbi Shimon, his son. So you have his Talmud Levi asking a question to Rabbi, and Rabbi Shimon, his son, is sitting in front of Rabbi and says, Lo mishna teinu hi? Says, isn't that our mishnah? I mean, that what's so fancy? What's Levi's question here? Why is he asking this question? We're going to know this from our mishnah. Our mission says the chok zayit b'chutz kazayit demachar kazayit demachar kazayit b'chutz kechetzik zayit b'chutz kechetzik zayit demachar kechetzik zayit demachar kechetzik zayit b'chutz pasul ve'im bo karet ha'idoch erev machshavot avi. If our mission is a case of zayit and zayit, then we know that where the case the mission would add a bigger chiddush to tell us kazayit demachar b'chutz. The fact that our Mishnah does not bring that Lashon down and only brings the case of Gzayit and Gzayit, that shows you that those are the cases where we say Rabbi Yehuda argues. But Rabbi Yehuda will agree in the case of Gzayit Lechutz Ulamachar. So what's so fancy about Levi's question over here? I could have been medayeked out of the Mishnah. I knew the Lashon of Mishnah. Once you know the Lashon of Mishnah, you know that the answer to Levi's question.
It's
Erev Machshavot, that there's two Machshavot are joined together and they both take effect. The other case of Zayit Lamachar Lechutz, the case that's not mentioned in the Mishnah, is clearly a case where Rabbi Yehuda does not disagree. He agrees that that's a case where you have a mix of Machshavot. So Amalei, Rabbi responds to his son, Hu sha'al bi davar chachma. He says, he asked me a good question, Vat amart mishnatenu, and you said our Mishnah. That's a diuk out of our Mishnah. You know why? Lididach, according to you, that ninach tarte, I taught the Mishnah in this manner. What did he say to Rabbi Shimon? Our Mishnah is both a case of kazayit, kazayit, and a case of kazayit, ukazayit. He had both. I taught you the Mishnah with both of those manifestations. Whether he said kazayit, kazayit, or whether he said kazayit, ukazayit with the vav, then you can make that deal. You can say our Mishnah addresses all cases where there's no erev machshavot. Whether he had the vav achibor, whether he didn't have the vav achibor, still a problem according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's still tfos lashon rishon. Well, you were medayik from that he said kazayit demachar ubachutz, that would be erev machshavot according to Rabbi Yehuda. According to Rabbi Yehuda, he doesn't disagree in that case. Rabbi Yehuda would agree to chachamim that both machshavot take effect, where he says it with a single word kazayit. That was your deal. Therefore, lo kashalach, you didn't have any problem. Lidi day, according to Levi, lo adine elachado. I only taught him the word, I only taught him the girsa and mishnah as being kazayit, kazayit, without the vav achibor. Then, vashminu l'rabonon. Then he went to the base medrash, and he heard others of my talmidim, other talmidim of mine in the base medrash saying, kazayit, kazayit, and kazayit, ukazayit. They put in the vav achibor as well. So, kargase tarte, they had both manifestations. V'savar, and he thought, didi dafko, v'didu eruv machshavot havi. When I Revi taught Levi only kazayit kazayit without the vav achibor, he taught me dafko, and that's the only case where there's no eruv machshavot. But the case of the vav achibor, there would be eruv machshavot. These talmidim, they did that on their own. They extended Revi's statement from kazayit kazayit to kazayit kazayit. They did their own. Or Dilma, Didu dafka. What Rebbe taught them was dafka, in that Rebbe believes both by the case of Gzait Gzait and the case of Gzait Ukzait, but the Vava Chibar, both of those cases Rebbe Yehuda argues, if that's the way that he left out for me, then maybe he left out for them also. Odima didu dafka. What they know is exactly. Oledid shuri shirely. He left over for me. He only taught me Gzait Gzait, but he should have taught me also Gzait Ukzait. Omedid shirely. If he left over for me, didi, hi shirely, oh, didi do. Then he also left over for them, in this case over here. Meaning that if he didn't teach me the whole Mishnah, maybe he didn't teach them the whole Mishnah as well. And that means in a case of Zayt Lamachar Ubachutz, there'd also be a question still, because maybe he left that out when he taught them. He left out for me, Zayt Ukazayit, but maybe he left out for them also, Zayt Lamachar Ubachutz. So then I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. It says, for you, who I taught both cases in the Mishnah, I let nothing out for you, Rabbi Shimon. I taught you Gzait Gzait and Gzait Gzait, so therefore I left nothing over in the Mishnah. So then you are automatically Midayek. If it's not in the Mishnah, then Rabbi Yehuda doesn't disagree in that case. Rabbi Yehuda will agree in that case, and it's Erev Machshavot, by the case of Gzait Machar B'chutz. To Levi, who only taught one of the two cases in the Mishnah, now he's in doubt. The second case in the Mishnah, is that really a case that belongs in the Mishnah? Or is that a case that's outside the Mishnah? If it belongs in the Mishnah, and he left out that case for me, maybe for the others that he taught both cases, he also left out the case of Zayd al-Machar B'chutz. I don't know. And that's why he asked me the question. And that's why his question is smart, and you don't have a question. I taught you two different things, and from what I taught each of you, your statements are correct. From you, Rabbi Shimon, I taught you both cases, so there from the Mishnah you're able to conclude. And for Levi, who I only taught one case, then Levi asked a good question about that final case of Zayd al-Machar B'chutz. Vatnei. So, which one did he teach him? Of the two possibilities, which one did Rebbe teach him? Did he teach him Gzait Kazayit, or did he teach him Gzait Ukazayit? Meaning that we said he got one of the two. Which one of the two did he put in the Mishnah? Elam Gzait Ukazayit, if you say it's the one with the Vav Chibor. So then, Atnei, I love Shiuro. Then it's obvious. If Rabbi Yehuda argues in the case of Vav Chibor, then he clearly argues in the case where there is no Vav Chibor. And clearly he thinks there's two statements there. So then what's Levi's question? Levi has no question here. If he knows Gzait Ukzayit, he also knows Gzait Gzayit. Ella, Gzait Gzayit Atnei. Must be that the Girsa that he taught him was a case of Gzait Gzayit without the Vav Chibor. Now, Gemara says, why did Levi ask the question about Gzait Lamachar B'chutz? Why didn't he just ask the question? Did he buy like Gzait Gzayit? Just ask the question he needed to know the answer to. That's what he wants to know. If the other students, are they right or they wrong? So he could just ask the question directly. Why is he asking the question in an indirect manner? So Sabar, Yibayimine Chadol Shmanu Mitarta. So that's a question that will give me an answer to two questions. Di Beina Gzayit Gzayit, if I ask him the question of Gzayit Gzayit, Hanecha, then it's good in Amarli Klolo. If he says to me that the case of Gzayit Gzayit already is considered to be Erev Machshavot, it's considered to be a single statement, then Koshkein Gzayit Machal B'chutz, then certainly the case of Gzayit Machal B'chutz is a single statement. I would have known the answer to both of them. But Eli Amarli Prata, if he says to me Gzayit Ukazayit are two separate statements, Akati Gzayit Machutz Kamei Bayile, I still have a question about the other case, which is the case where it's Gzayit Machal B'chutz. So therefore, I asked him the question about Gzayit Machal B'chutz. And I says, well, Ihochi, you have the same problem. If he says Gzayit Machar B'chutz is two separate statements, then obviously Gzayit Ugzayit is two separate statements. Koshkin Gzayit Ugzayit. Ela Iyamarle Klala. If he says Gzayit Machar B'chutz is considered to be one statement, Akat Gzayit Ugzayit Mivaylid. He doesn't know what Gzayit Ugzayit is. That may be one statement or two statements. He's still unsure about that case. Gemara says no. In that way, he was smart. Imkein Maratach Welkoch. Then Rebbe would have gotten angry at Levi. What is he? He's asking him. There's a case we know for certain. Gzaito, Gzait, we know for sure is two separate statements. The case where he answered in the case of Gzaito, Machar B'chutz, there we're going to understand that that's a case, a single statement. The middle case is Gzaito, Gzait, where we don't know. He's asking him, what's the statement about Gzaito, Machar B'chutz? That's the far-fetched case. Now, if Rebbe really believed that Gzait, Ukizayit was actually a case of two separate or distinct statements, then when he asks him about Gzait, Machar B'chutz, Rebbe would say, what are you asking him about that far-fetched case? Why don't you just ask me about Gzait, Ukizayit? Gzait, Gzait is already different than Gzait, Gzait. With the Vav HaChibur is already a case where it's different. Why are you asking me this far-fetched case of Gzait, Machar B'chutz? Why would you ask? That's like a person comes with a question. Instead of asking the most obvious question, he asks this far-fetched question. So Rebbe, you're going to meet, why don't you ask me the obvious case? In that case already, I think there's a difference. Why are you asking me this crazy case? So he would have gotten the answer to his question by the way or the nature that Rebbe answered him. If Rebbe answers him that Kazayit and Machar B'chutz are two separate statements, then he knows the answer to Kazayit and Kazayit. That's also two separate statements. If Rebbe answers him in a calm manner and says Kazayit and Machar B'chutz is a single statement, he answers him calmly, then he'll know that Kazayit and Kazayit are two separate statements, and that's the only case where it's one statement. If he answers him in a angry manner. He answers him in a way, what are you asking about this? You should ask him about the other case. He'll know that Gzairu Zayit is also a case of single statement. It's also a case of single statement. Why are you asking me about this far-fetched case of Gzairu Machar B'chutz? So that's what he says. Hashtag Gzairu Gzairu Klola. Gzairu Gzairu is already a single statement. Gzairu Machar B'chutz Mi Bayit. Then you have to ask me about this case of Gzairu Machar B'chutz being a single statement. Obviously, it's a single statement over here. So now, what's the Shvam Ino? What's the proof from here? What's the Girsa in our Mishnah? Right, our question was, what's the Girsa in the Mishnah? Gzayit Gzayit or Gzayit Ukzayit? So we brought the case here by Rebbe. What's the answer to the question? So Rashi says, Shma Mino, the Gzayit Ukzayit's not. It's a Vav Achibar here. That's what Rebbe meant to say. He taught Levi only one of the two, which means that he really intended to teach Levi both of them. That means that the Girsa, according to Rabbi in the Mishnah, and Rabbi, who's the author or the redactor of the Mishnah, wanted to be Gzayit Ukzayit with the Vav Achibar. And that means that Rabbi believes that whether it's Gzayit Gzayit or Gzayit Ukzayit with the Vav Achibar, Rabbi believes those are two distinct statements. They are not a single statement. There's no Erev Machshavot that we have over here. That's the source, everywhere in Shas, where the Gemara says in Bava Kamma, where the Gemara says in Kiddushin, the Gemara says in Shavuot, Rabbi Hi Damar, Lo Shna Gzayit Gzayit, Lo Shna Gzayit Ukzayit. Rabbi's statement that Vav Achibar makes no difference, whenever the Gemara says that, we know that Rabbi thinks that there's no difference between the two. This is the source. Our Gemara is the source for that. Because over here we see Rabbi saying, teaching Levi, and then teaching Rabbi Shimon, the same Mishnah, once with Gzayit Gzayit, the other case with Gzayit Ukzayit, saying there's no difference in the outcome. The din is the same by both of them. So that's Rabbi Shita. Rabbi Shita is the Vav Achibar makes no difference in these cases. It makes no difference. Our Mishnah should have the Vav Achibar in it to teach us that it's in both cases. Rabbi Yehuda will argue in both of those cases, disagree and say that both of them are pratim, both of them are separate statements, whether it's a Vav Achibar without a Vav Achibar, both of them are separate statements. Gzayit Machar B'chutz, that Rabbi answers and says that's a single statement according to Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, we'll stop over here.